This month we've been exploring the theme, Give Me Shelter. And we've been thinking about different reasons people leave their homes. A couple of weeks ago we talked about migration and journeys and the choice some people make to go to another place because they see better opportunities. The week before that we talked about refugees. And last week we talked about homelessness. Both reasons that people feel compelled to leave their homes and try to seek a life that has something else. This comes for many reasons, ranging from war and violence to abuse to loss of income. And sometimes those lead to better places and new homes. And sometimes that's a more difficult path. This week, we think about slavery. Slavery when people are not just feeling compelled to leave their home, feeling like there is no other choice, but given no choice at all. Forced to leave, forced into a new situation. And we know from our scriptures that this is not a new story, that we have a long history of it. And we know that during different ages, slavery took different forms and was institutionalized different ways. And that during the 19th century, at various times across the world, slavery was abolished, particularly what's called slavery by descent, or chattel slavery, the idea that people weren't people at all, were property that could be owned and passed down. And that lack of humanity was something that passed from generation to generation. In the scriptures that we heard today, we heard a few instances of this attempt to think bigger, and perhaps the attempt not to think big enough. So we heard Joseph talking about the good that was able to arise from his slavery, and attributing that to God. And while we might see his strength and his courage in that statement, we have to be very cautious about who is allowed to say something like that. Certainly not his brothers, and certainly not the Egyptians. Only Joseph himself, as the person who had experienced that and come through that, was able to see the strength and the hope in what he encountered. And then in the passage with Moses, we hear, most importantly, that God is a God of liberation, that God is a God of freedom, that God recognizes the oppression that exists and says, this is not right. Something needs to be done. And then works through people, people like Moses, imperfect, troubled people like all of us to change things. And we know what happens with that story. But we also hear in that passage that sense of where we don't quite think big enough, because that vision of freedom and liberation is expressed for the Hebrew people. And the vision of a new place is one where other people already live, and they spend time naming them all. Those places where our vision of what freedom and hope and possibility mean is not always big enough. Sometimes we don't like thinking about slavery. We don't like thinking about what our ancestors and the people who founded this country and the countries that many of us came from and the country that has the strongest cultural influence on our own. That's the States, in case you were wondering. Oh, good. Some people are listening. We don't like thinking about the wrongs that have been done. We like thinking about how we got past that, how we figured it out. We don't like imagining what we would have done if we had been living a couple hundred years ago, who we would have been in this story. We don't like thinking about what we might have done or who we might have been if we'd lived sometime after slavery was abolished, but when it was clear that there was such racial injustice that existed, with segregation, for instance. The places where we might not be culpable, but might be the silent majority not speaking out or taking action because it doesn't directly impact us. Where we're not thinking big enough. So often we don't think about it. The problem with that, of course, is that slavery still exists. Contemporary or modern day slavery is institutional slavery that continues to exist in present day society around the world. Estimates of the number of slaves today range from 21 to 70 million. 21 to 70 million, and that depends on how the estimates are being done. Of course, slavery isn't legal, so it has to be estimated. So that depends on how the estimates are being done and according to the definition of slavery we choose to use. The American professor Kevin Bales, co-founder of Free the Slaves, says that modern slavery occurs when a person is under the control of another person who applies violence and force to maintain that control, and the goal of that control is exploitation. Of course, we more often avoid the word slavery and use other words like forced labor or human trafficking or debt bondage or forced marriage. Or child labor, although child slavery is a little bit different than just child labor. The organization Anti-Slavery estimates 40.3 million people in modern slavery around the world, and they break it down as 10 million children, 24.9 million people in forced labor, 15.4 million people in forced marriage, 4.8 million people in forced sexual exploitation. And they also note that 1.5 million people are in slavery in developed economies, like ours. In fact, it was just this week that the Toronto Police hosted a two-day conference focusing on helping Indigenous women and girls from falling victim to human trafficking. The conference focused on listening to speakers who had survived this experience. And there's an article on CBC about this you can read, which notes that Indigenous women are particularly targeted in cities where they're away from their communities, their support systems, and are thus more vulnerable. Modern day slavery, like slavery in the past, disproportionately targets those who are vulnerable, particularly economic vulnerability. The most common form of slavery in the world is debt bondage. That's where someone doesn't have money and ends up in a system of extreme loans, a debt that can never be repaid. They lose their freedom, and often the freedom of their children and other descendants, in an attempt to repay that impossible loan. The most common forms of slavery in the Western world, the US, Canada, Western Europe, are sex slavery and forced migrant labor, when people are lured with promise of work and then their documents taken away. So they don't have any choice. They don't have any control. So all those numbers are just a reminder that this isn't something that doesn't impact us. It's something that's very present and very real, not just a part of our past. In a moment, we're going to be singing, "There is a Balm in Gilead." And in that hymn, we hear the line that heals the sin-sick soul. We don't always talk about sin very much in the United Church, because so often discussions of sin have been targeted on individual action, particular things that you should or shouldn't do, or you're sinful. They're based around ideas of God as judgmental, and problematic views of what forgiveness means. And quite frankly, most of the discussions of sin that we hear in larger society don't think big enough. Instead of thinking about sin as primarily something that's about individuals, about what we do or don't do or don't say, we should be thinking about sin as something that's systemic. And I'll explain what I mean. Because what sin is a state of separation from God, being apart, not being connected. And here, of course, at Leaside United Church, we know, because we talk about it every week as we light the Christ candle, that we're not talking about some God out there that we're disconnected from. We're talking about a God that exists within all of us, all people. So what sin is where we are not connected to our true selves, and where we are not recognizing the sacred nature of other people, when we're not thinking big enough. So as we're singing that line and that hymn together, we don't have to worry about whether it's something we said or didn't say last week. We can reflect on sin as something that we are all a part of because of the inequalities and the injustice and the slavery that our world are built on. That feels big. It's not just about our action, but it's a reality that we're faced with, that things in this world are not right, that there's separation and division where there shouldn't be. But at the same time, we're singing about a God who can reach past that division, that separation, that lack of completion, and bring us together towards wholeness. Guide us together towards hope. Move us together towards a vision of a world where all people are free. This is a God of liberation, one who moves through our words and our actions and our stories and our hymns. one who works through us together. First, recognizing what is wrong, practicing thinking big enough, and then paying attention to how that changes our actions. How we pay attention to the sacred in each other, and how we reach out beyond the places that most directly affect us to see the other places where connection is needed. That's freedom's song. Like we heard the choirs singing together, and that matters. Together. Reaching out beyond those first expectations. Reaching beyond the apparent divisions and differences. And saying, when every heart joins every heart. There's a concept called Ubuntu. It's an Ogoni Bantu term from South Africa. Ubuntu theology is supported by Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and Ubuntu as a term became important during the 70s and 80s, during the conversations about apartheid in South Africa. And this word is most obviously translated as humanity. But other translations include, I am because we are. Or humanity towards others. That who each of us is exists in the relationship that we have towards all others. So that our wholeness, our hope, our life is bound up in the wholeness and lives of others. We're called to think big enough with that vision. Not just those of us who are here this morning, or possibly listening to the podcast, or not podcast, audio recording on the website. And not just our communities and our city and our country, but all the peoples of the world, all the creatures, all the living things of this planet. Ubuntu, I am because we are. We could say that's a way of describing God. God is that force of life, that energy of love. That deep and abiding connection that calls us to our truest selves, expressed in our truest care for all others. Amen.